So now we go to recognizing Richard de Molen. Again, that's another person who needs no introduction, but if you allow me, I will take a moment just to share my own memories, if you want. I know Richard for a very long time. We actually met for the first time in 1981. By the way, if you are trying to wonder how old I am, I just turned 41. So we met back in 1981. I was at the time the president of the International Shipping Club at Harvard Business School. And we were trying to put together interesting programs and invite leaders in the industry and former graduates. And Richard was the very first person who came to the club to make a presentation to the MBA students. And since then, our friendship has, of course, developed. And I have to say that today Lambros put together from Lloyd's List, put together a very nice article on Richard. And what he stressed is what I also am an admirer of, not only his industry presence, his industry acumen, but also his humanitarian work. And we all know, Richard, that he has been a contributor to the industry and to our community in many ways. He's been, with Siemens Church, he's been the chairman of Intertanko. I mean, I'm not going to go down his CV. Sunday is going to actually formally introduce him. But I just wanted to say that I, as Nicholas, I'm particularly honored and privileged and moved, frankly, to have the opportunity to call him not only my friend, but to be able to pay my respects to him publicly. And in closing, I'd like to say a few years ago, we started a new conference in London on a topic that everybody thought was very exotic. It was corporate social responsibility in shipping. A number of people I talked to, they were saying, are you kidding us? I mean, what is this? What does it mean? Richard was the one who came and said, that's a great topic. It's a great subject. I will help you put it together. He actually single-handedly helped me invite speakers. He came to London himself. He said, Nicholas, that's your personal CSR because you will never make money out of that conference, but it's a great idea. It contributes to the industry, and I will help you to put it together. And that's really one of the many elements that I admire in Richard. Anyway, and now I will ask Sunday. Again, we are absolutely privileged to have Sean with us today. You all know him, an amazing industry presence. And he's going to introduce Richard. So thank you very much.
Good afternoon. It's my privilege and pleasure to introduce my very good friend, Rich de Molen, to you today as the 2017 recipient of the Capital Link Shipping Leadership Award. Now, there are very few of us in the shipping industry who've covered the waterfront quite as broadly as Rich has. He's not only had a very successful career in the shipping industry, he also has a lifetime of yacht racing behind him. In fact, he virtually grew up in the water, and he sailed successfully in most of the major ocean yacht races in the world, including the Transatlantic, the Fastnet, the Sydney Hobart. He's represented the US in the America's Cup. He's won the double-handed Newport to Bermuda multiple times, and he holds the world sailing record for sailing non-stop, double-handed, from Hong Kong to New York. Think about that a little bit, sailing non-stop, double-handed, from Hong Kong to New York. And he did that in his 40s, which I think is quite remarkable. And I remember helping to arrange some help off the South African coast if he needed it, but it was all went swimmingly. He also once served as an officer in the U.S. Navy, and, of course, he spent his career in the shipping industry, having successfully risen through the ranks at OMI after graduating from Harvard Business School, and he subsequently became the CEO of Marine Transport Lines. After selling that company, he founded Intrepid Shipping, becoming a ship owner himself to crown his career, and he continues to run Intrepid as a ship owning company to this day. As if all that wasn't enough, he also served successfully as chairman of Intertanko for 3 years. He's served on the board of Siemens Church Institute for so many years, I can't remember how long it is now, and he's currently its chairman. He's been widely honored by our industry already. He has received the U.S. Coast Guard Distinguished Service Award, the Admiral of the Ocean Seas Award, and Commodore of Connecticut Maritime Association. He's also director of three public shipping companies, and most important of all, one of them is TK Tankers. I've been very fortunate to know Rich for the past 30 years, and we've enjoyed many adventures together. I remember well a very rough passage we had once back from Bermuda on his 36-foot sloop, where we got flattened by a squall we didn't see coming at 4 o'clock in the morning. And Rich was both cool, calm, competent as we got the yacht back upright. He really is one of the coolest skippers I've ever sailed with, which makes it fun. We also sailed together in many races in the former America's Cup 12-meter boats in Long Island Sound. And it's especially good to sail with Rich because you always win. Rich is somebody who's accomplished a great deal in our industry. But more important, as you heard a little bit earlier, he's given back so much as well, which I think is critically important. In my view, nobody is more deserving of the Capital Link Shipping Leadership Award than Rich. Congratulations.
Thank you, Sean, for that introduction and for being my shipmate on that trip back from Bermuda. I've also been thrilled to serve on one of your boards. More important than anything else was coming back from Bermuda in the gale, I found out that Sean really is a mariner. He didn't get seasick. And for those of you who are investors in TK, Sean was chairman for 18 years till recently just retired. It's good to know that the chairman of such a group of companies is actually a real mariner. And Sean is a real mariner and a great friend. Now, perhaps the bumpy ride in the shipping industry has tested some of your stomachs also. I'm pleased to also share the podium with my friend Peter Evanson, also on the TK Tanker board, and congratulations for his leadership at TK during his years there, too. Between Sean and Peter, they built what I think is the greatest group of companies, public companies, in the shipping industry, and they have terrific standards for corporate governance, which I'll come back to later. Sean, Peter, and I also share the fact that we were all honored as Commodores of the Connecticut Maritime Association. As the oldest, I was first, and that's good because I now present the awards and get the last word in each time. And particularly with Peter, it's always good to be able to get the last word in. Once I told Peter that in 10 minutes I could teach him everything I knew about shipping, and in 11 minutes, everything we both know about shipping. Now, when I started shipping in 1974, you would have been hard-pressed to imagine our shipping leaders spending a day with public and private investors. Can you visualize Aristotle Onassis sharing his corporate strategy and innermost secrets? Or how about the other golden Greeks or Norse gods or Hong Kong moguls reporting to their public company boards, especially their audit committees? But thanks to Nicholas and his team at Capital Inc., we have this great conference where members of the financial and shipping communities can exchange information. As investors or advisors, your primary objective is to find and analyze investment opportunities in the shipping industry. During my career, this has also been my primary objective, but there are two significant differences. First difference, for better or worse, I am a shipping executive, a ship owner. I can lighten up by selling or chartering out my ships. I can dig in by purchasing ships or trading spot. But outside my IRAs, my house, and my sailboat, all my main assets are in shipping. For you, with an almost infinite menu of investment choices, shipping is probably one of your most challenging ones, full of risk and opportunity. The only comfort is that shipping is 5,000 years old and not going away, but your time horizon is not measured in centuries. The second difference, every day I'm acutely aware of the hundreds of mariners serving on my ships, and the thousands on TK, Tidewater, and Pangaea vessels, my other boards. As chairman of the Seamus Church Institute, I'm involved in their work to serve and protect millions of mariners at sea on any given day. There's one message I'd like to leave with you today. Behind your investments, behind the companies here today, are hardworking professional mariners, men and women, who every day are at sea, far from their families, in circumstances that range from boring to high risk. A great sailor once described going to sea as long periods of boredom punctuated by moments of terror. Many of you are wondering, why is he telling us all this? What does it mean to my or your professional responsibility? What does he expect me to do about it? Well, here's an observation. A shipping company has two constituencies who are remote and often unseen: mariners at sea and public shareholders, who are sometimes left at sea. From my observations of public and private companies the past 43 years, whether as chairman of Intertank or the world's leading tanker organization, or chairman of Seaman Church Institute, the companies that take good care of their crew also tend to take good care of their shareholders and shareholder responsibilities. Good governance is not a random event. I'll repeat that. Good governance is not a random event. I would like to think that your due diligence of shipping companies goes beyond analyzing numbers only, that you would examine their vessel operations, safety records, and treatment of mariners. I would encourage you to support the nonprofit organizations, and I don't mean the shipping companies that are not making money. The nonprofit organizations that provide mariner services, such as port hospitality, visiting chaplains, legal defense, Christmas at sea gifts, supportive families, and anti-piracy and maritime safety lobbying. Some of the lead organizations helping mariners include, and I'll name two, Seamus Church Institute of New York, New Jersey, and the Coast Guard Foundation. Last year, the Seamus Church administered the El Faro Relief Fund for the families of the 28 American and 5 Polish mariners who were lost when the U.S. flag El Faro went down with all hands. The Coast Guard Foundation helps the families of Coast Guard men and women, including those lost trying to save lives at sea. There are other good organizations, and I'm sure Capital Link can provide leads if you're interested. For Seamus Church, I'll do a little advertising. Our big Silver Bell Gala dinner, June 8th in New York, is the largest dinner in the shipping industry in the United States. It's a lot of fun. And we host a mountain challenge sponsored by Cargill in the mountains of Maine in late September for any teams that want to join us. To wrap up my remarks, I thank Nicholas and Capital Link for this very nice recognition today, and Sean for his introduction. I will leave you one final thought. We all use the word venture as in venture capital. It is derived from adventure, which the first great maritime traders and ship owners, the Phoenicians, used to describe an ocean voyage. It was an adventure involving the joint risk-taking by the cargo owner, investors, bankers, the ship owner, the captain and his crew, and nothing has changed since then. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Nicholas wanted to ask me one question, so I prepared a few additional notes.
Before we present you with the award, Richard, I wanted to ask, and go back to Commissioner Cordero, to Peter Evans, and they both talked about providing efficient and safe transportation. On the other hand, we have, we are in an industry that is public, cyclical, and we talk about the timing of the asset acquisitions as a primary consideration for generating good returns. So how do we put it together?
It's a good question. If you didn't hear, it's how do you put together the ideas that shipping companies are there to provide a service, but you're in such a challenging environment in terms of cyclicality to do it. What do I think about this? And I thought back a bit to when I was chairman of Intertanko, which Nicholas Tsakos now is doing a great job helping the industry, that we try to figure it out. We had more than 55 minutes to do it, and we only figured out parts of it over a three-year period. But one comparison we eventually came to is aviation versus maritime shipping. And in aviation, you have only two great producers of the aircraft, Boeing and Airbus. You have smaller companies out there, but you have huge concentration in the providers of the assets. And those two big companies have a real stake in how their customers do. In shipbuilding, it's wildly fragmented, and when your ship leaves the yard, you're challenged even to get your guarantee claims honored by the shipyards. Luckily, the ships are really good quality, but the fact is the industry is fragmented. So here in shipping, you have a fragmented industry all trying to build as much as they can, and you have ship owners through the cycles trying to make a living and provide a service. You also have sometimes too much enthusiasm, like when the eco bulge occurred in 2010. We were just recovering from the financial crisis, and a lot of ships got ordered on the with the excitement that there was an improvement in engine performance and fuel consumption, which is true, but at that moment, we didn't need more ships. The good side is the underlying power in our business is the growth of world trade. And you go back to thousands of years, and you can see it ramping up, and in recent years, it's been very strong. You have ups and downs to certain commodities, but the net-net is the world's more connected, as Tom Friedman might say, and that the only efficient way to move anything that's big by weight or volume is on a ship. And Einstein could have told you the reason is one word, buoyancy. Very cheap to float big, heavy objects and then just push them with the use of a turning propeller. Airplanes will never do it. So we have a great advantage that shipping's essential, it's going to be here forever, and it's connecting a world that's more interconnected. But given the volatility and the propensity to build too many ships, I think what we've developed is two alternative strategies. And neither one is a loser or a winner necessarily in the stock market. Both can be executed, but you ought to know what you're getting into before you buy the shares. I call one the timing or the asset play. And I'm being purist when I kind of shove them into two categories. But here, when you buy a share in a company that's trying to time the market, you're betting on two different timings. You're betting on the management of that company being able to time the market and your ability to time when you buy and sell the shares. And huge losses and gains could be made. It's an exciting way to make a living. What I think people find out is when money's available, it's very easy to buy things, very easy to order ships, very easy to buy ships. But it takes a lot more time to sell them. And psychologically, it's very hard to sell while the market's running up. Typically, people try to sell when they get the first sniff that the market's turning down, and it's too late. So the asset play, the timing play can be very powerful. It's not going to go away because shipping's cyclical, but it is definitely one style of investing. The other we call the transportation service, which the other speakers both talked about. And there you've got company strategy oriented to providing a service close to their customers, strong market share like the container ship industry is going into now, providing very specific services that your company is competent at, very intense and safe operations both on the ships and in the ports, trying to get very high utilization of the assets, whether it's the ships, whether it's the port facilities, the square footage on the ground. Ship design and port design are all important. This is what transportation service is about, but you can't do it without a little eye on the timing side. So you can't time a business like this perfectly. You have to have continuous capital investment, but there's times to weight the investments to a higher level when shipbuilding prices are cheap, and there's a time to go a little lighter when things tend to run away. So these are kind of the two styles of doing it. And if I named a few companies who are doing the transportation service, one great one is Kirby. Kirby's doing it on the U.S. waterways. TK's doing it in its sectors. Maersk does it. Pacific Basin does it. These are companies that focus in their areas and try to provide a service. There are others. Not always successful, because prices go up and down in the stock market. But in the long run, these are the companies doing the services. On the asset play, there's a lot of companies. Some do it very well. Some don't. Some have good governance. Some do not. But realize when you're in that market, there's two timings going on, management's timing and your timing with the shares. And that can get pretty exciting. But that's what I want to add. Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you. All right.